So what exactly is the Business of Making podcast and who are the Maker Mavens? Listen in to this episode zero to find out.
Do you want to make it as a maker? This is the Business of Making podcast with your hosts Michaela Denvers, Deb Engelmeyer and Jess Van Den.
We know from experience that growing a handmade business is bloody hard work. We're here to make it a little bit easier for you by dishing out reality-based, no BS, tried and tested advice on how to make your business work.
Tune in every week for an honest conversation on what it really takes to make a creative business a success.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Jess here. We are here today for our episode zero, our very first episode, where we are going to tell you who we are and why we're doing this. So I'm here with the Mavens, Deb.
Hello.
And Mick.
Hey, hey.
So it's lovely to be with you guys today, and I'm really, really excited. I'm really excited about this podcast.
I am too. I can't wait.
I'm super excited.
Because we have so much, oh my God, we have just so much to teach and so much to bring and so
much.
Almost
too much.
Yeah, almost too much. But I think working together, it's going to be a really awesome opportunity to bring different perspectives to issues because, you know, we all work independently in this space and we all have our own perspectives and thoughts on things. But, you know, being able to bounce that off each other and see what other people have to say. And for you guys listening, obviously, you know, you're going to get a few different perspectives rather than just the one. So I'm going to kick straight off. So my name is Jess Van Den. I have been running my own full-time handmade business since 2010, and I started it as a hobby business in 2008. So this year I'm going to hit 10 years running my handmade business, which is pretty amazing.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's the longest I've done anything other than my husband. He's been around longer. So he wins. But it's the longest I've stuck to anything in my life. And as a kind of an edge millennial, I had the kind of typical get bored with stuff easily thing. Mm-hmm. So probably why I also run another business. So just to give a bit more background, I was going to be a research scientist. So I went to uni, I did a dual degree. So I did two bachelor's degrees at the same time. I did science and arts. And that probably should have been a bit of an indication that focusing on one narrow field of interest was not going to be my way, but I hadn't quite figured that out yet. So I did my degrees, finished up, realized that I didn't want to be a research scientist because I didn't want to devote myself to a narrow field of interest for the rest of my life. Took a year off to figure out what the heck I was going to do with myself. Didn't figure it out, but I did decide that I would become a teacher because I love teaching. I'd been doing tutoring during uni and I'm passionate about learning and I'm passionate about sharing knowledge. So I thought, hey, what an awesome idea. Until I figure out what I really want to do with my life, let's go be a teacher. And so I went back to uni again, got my third degree, which I'm still paying off soon it will be gone. And started working in education. So I worked as a school teacher for a year. Then I worked as a science communicator for the Queensland Museum for a year. And then I got my very first job in business. Now, you may have noticed I have zero business education, at least at a formal level, because I never really was interested in it. But then I got a job as the manager of an English and Maths tuition centre. And part of that job was obviously, as the manager, was learning about business, learning how to sell, learning how about marketing. And so that was my first opportunity and exposure to business. And, you know, a lot of people have this, and I think a lot of people in our industry, especially ladies, please feel free to let me know how you think about this, but I think a lot of people have a really negative idea of sales.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah, like it's this icky, awful thing.
Yeah, it's a bit gross. It's a bit pushy.
Yeah. And that's how I felt like about business in general. But it wasn't until I got the opportunity to actually be in business that I realized, hang on a second, if you believe in what you're selling and you think it's valuable, then that changes everything because you actually realize that you're trying to help people and you're trying to give them something that will help them and will make their life better in a way. And that was kind of a revelation for me. Mm-hmm. And so I discovered I really enjoyed that aspect of things. And then during my second year of that job, I just literally started making jewelry as a hobby amongst other creative hobbies. Because, you know, there's one thing when you're in education, you never see a finished product. Mm-hmm. You never make something and finish it and, you know, you're just part of the process, mm-hmm. which is awesome, but it's a different thing. So I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed, like I loved manual arts at school. I loved making stuff. I hated home economics, ironically. Like sewing and cooking, But making stuff out of metal and wood, sign me up. That was great.
Yep.
So I kind of went back into that and I started making jewelry and it started piling up and I was like, what am I going to do with all this stuff because I can only wear so much? And that's when I discovered Etsy and I opened an Etsy shop thinking, oh, you know, surely I'll just put some stuff up there and it will sell.
Surely. That's how it works, right?
So easy. I wish you could see their faces right now, honestly. We're all just laughing our heads off. Yeah, no. And ironically, like funnily enough, I actually had an internet background. Like I've been writing a blog for years. Mm. I taught myself HTML in high school as a hobby and made websites. Like I'd always had this weird kind of dream in the back of my head that I would somehow make a living online one day, but never really had any idea about how to do it. And it just kind of magically appeared. So so I started that business and then did it as a hobby for about a year and a half. And then life events conspired that I went full time and I could tell you that story, but it would take ages and I need to move on. So anyway, long story short, I went full time with it and it started taking off and we'd just gotten married and he didn't have a job because he's English. So he was here on a tourist visa, so he wasn't allowed to work. And then we got married and the business sort of started taking off. I'm like, well, let's just go with this and see where it goes. And here we are 8 years later now, I guess. From that. And of course, a couple of years in, I also started a little magazine called Bespoke, which is how I met Mick because Yay. She volunteered to help me with the very first.
Hey, do you have a designer for that? I know someone who might be able to help you out.
Graphic designer extraordinaire, because I had no idea. I'll just start a magazine. I don't know how to do graphic design. What? So she saved my butt and we worked together on that for a couple of years before I sold it. And the reason I sold it was because, and we're almost up to real time, because I had this idea for a new business. I wanted to actually help makers. I wanted to teach makers how to have a successful handmade business because I kept getting so many people asking me, how did you do this? How did you do that? Over and over again. And that's how Create and Thrive was born. So that's my business where I help makers to thrive, to, you know, start and run a successful, profitable handmade business that actually works. And that's what I've been doing alongside my jewelry business for the last, gosh, I think it's like 5.5 years now, almost 6 years now. So that's me. That's my story and how I got to where I am.
Amazing.
Yes, I actually forgot. I don't know if I forgot or if I never known or you two met. I actually didn't realize it was because of that.
Yeah. That's it was so a long time ago now too.
I think it was.
Like
7 years.
I remember actually giving birth to my son almost 7 years ago and sending you the draft of one of the issues the day after. Oh my God. I was like, that's I just got to send this off still. So yeah, that was good. It was good fun.
Thank you for that.
No worries.
Awesome.
All right, should I go next?
Sure.
Yeah, go for it, Deb.
So that's actually a bit harder than what I thought. I'm like, where do I start? Like, I was born in. So I'm not going to go that far.
But you weren't born in Australia, I can tell you that much.
We're going to start with that. So let's put this out of the way. I'm French.
Did you know I didn't know that until last week?
That's crazy to me. I'm like, can't you hear it?
Could you not tell?
Can you tell? Well, at least from so much, like just the accent.
You could be Canadian, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I get a bit of people asking if I'm from like Quebec, Canada, or mostly people think I'm Spanish or Portuguese or
maybe I thought that because of the hair. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But then, you know, I use South American and they don't really have that curly hair, do they? It's more like
straight
Brazilian hair. Like that's not me at all. I'm just like, I don't know. But no one gets French and I'm like, really? Anyway, I'm French, born and raised in France. My background is different, very different, because I come more from the business marketing part of things. So I did a business school. I don't really know why I did that. I just kind of did it. I guess you know, in high school, I was like, I love all the literature and all of that stuff. But everyone was telling me, you're never going to make a living doing this. And I wasn't so much into physics and all of that stuff. So the middle ground was, you should study economics. So I did that. 3 years later, I'm like, done with a bachelor. And I was just like, I might as well just go to business school and do 2 years of master's. And so I did it and specialized in marketing and entrepreneurship, actually, because I think I always had this thing of wanting to either work for myself or help small projects. I don't know. I've just always been attracted by, you know, building things and creating an entrepreneurship. So, yeah, and I did a thesis on like online marketing for small businesses, which I should try to read again because I'm sure I'd be laughing and going like, I knew nothing. But anyway, it was just fun. It's actually a ton of work too. And I worked for a year in Paris at Sephora, which is this cosmetic stores company. I was in the e-commerce division. So at that stage, I think they were opening an e-commerce store in Italy, and we just had to deal with all the photos and graphic design and customers. And anyway, all that's got to do with e-commerce behind the scene of Sephora. And I learned a lot, and that was really fun. Just wasn't really for me in terms of Paris, loved it for a bit, and then I needed more, I don't know, parks and oceans and mountains, less buildings, I guess. So it just wasn't going to be a lifestyle for me. So I moved to Australia because I had, I was at the end of my master's, so I wasn't completely finished then. And I had still a semester to finish that I finished in Australia. So I got an exchange with the University of Newcastle. So that's where I landed. And I was in Newcastle for a bit, finished my master's. The plan was always to go home. And I just I didn't follow the plan. I was like, I like this country. It's cool here. I'm going to stay one more year and then one more. And now it's almost 7 years later. So I've been here for a while.
Don't tell everybody how awesome it is here.
Yes, the secret, guys. It's a mysterious island. There's nothing. No one lives there. Nah, it is. It's great, and you know, I love it for so many different reasons. But So when I got there, I'm going to keep the visa part because that's always been really complicated. Working, trying to figure out how to actually make money and not the tourist visa, the student visa, all of that stuff. So I started freelancing really just because I couldn't really get a job that was going to get me a visa. And I was like, I might as well just work for myself. And what I knew was marketing. So that's what I started doing. And I was doing, you know, I'm going to start using acronyms here, but like PPC, SEO, like all these search engine things and pay-per-click advertising and all of that stuff that I've stopped doing since then, simply because I realized it was just, I liked it and I still like understanding it and working with it, but it just wasn't going to be a full-time thing for me. And I was really missing that creative side of things. I would be the one in the marketing team with the business I was working for that would be giving sort of like the direction and the strategy and the brief to like the creative people. And I would look at them and think, oh, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to design the website. I don't want to tell them how it should be, you know? So I went back to uni and I went, or uni or like a diploma, whatever it's called in Australia, and did graphic design to learn everything about Adobe and all of that. And then self-taught myself HTML and CSS and all these things. I thought it was fun because I'm a weirdo. And so after that, I knew.
Welcome to the club. We're all
weirdos. Yeah, I know. When you said that, I was like, yes, bought books, learned HTML by myself on the weekends. Things people don't usually do. And I was really enjoying
it. We found our people.
Yeah. Just like, yeah. It's but awesome. Yeah, so after that, I had a mixed bag of different skills, really, and that's been really helpful because I was able to work for really small-sized businesses that couldn't afford to have three people and hire three different people. So they would need someone that could integrate all those different things and do their design, but also their marketing strategy. And then you quickly realize that they come together anyway. Like, you never do design without a marketing strategy behind it. So yeah, it was working really nicely, just word of mouth. And I never really had a job. I never really worked for someone else than myself, except that one Sephora bit. So that's good because I would not be very good at it. I don't know, all the like commuting and dressing up to go to work. And no. I work in my leggings. That's what I do best. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the handmade and making thing happened sort of naturally as well because of I was getting most of my clients word of mouth. And so a lot of my friends were actually makers. I make stuff myself all the time too. I just don't sell them because I don't think I've got one skill where I'm good enough, I could actually make a living of selling it. I'm just sort of like mediocre in 10 different crafts. And I change every year. At the moment, I'm trying to get back into pottery. But anyway, so I was working for more and more makers and handmade shops, and I liked it just so much more than other projects I was working on. So, you know, when it was, do you want to build a website for a dentist or for this cute little jewelry brand? I was like, the jewelry, please. So I realized most of my friends and clients just hated the marketing part. Like, you know, got into business because they were good at doing their crafts and they were like, oh, it's good, I'm going to try to sell this, see if I can make a living of it, and just not realizing all that implies in terms of marketing and being strategic with what you're doing. And that's what would really, like, yeah, excite me. I was just like, yeah, well, that's what I like to do, so let's work together. And I started blogging about it. I've always blogged. I've skipped so many different chapters of my life in this mini intro, but I've had many different blogs and things before that. And so it's just a natural thing for me to do. So I just started Tizit as a blog, and then it rapidly evolved into something that I decided I was going to put my entire focus on. And after that, we're almost to present day now. That was 2 or 3 years ago, I think, I started Tizit. And I did, at first it was sort of just a blog and a way of getting clients. And then I quickly dropped the one-on-one thing and focused on helping people doing courses and workshops, like you ladies do. That's how we met each other, because I did the Makers Bees Summit and I hosted 2 editions of it this year, 2018 and last year. And so, yeah, we worked together then, and then the rest of the story. So yeah, that's what I do still. I'm running Tizit full time. I've got a membership community, and yeah, and this wonderful podcast.
Awesome. It's so funny listening to you guys, because there's so many similarities and of that I didn't even realize, which is so cool. So I guess I'll launch into my story now, if that's okay.
Yes.
So there's a couple of little things from my childhood that I think are really telling now about, like, what I'm doing and how everything's turned out. So I think when I was about maybe 4 years old, maybe 5, I remember getting all these little toys that were my mum's, and after bedtime sneaking out and putting them on the kitchen bench with a little sign saying 20 cents each.
Aww.
So I had the
price much early.
She didn't have quite a good concept of pricing back then.
Yes. Well, they were not mine to begin with. And I was selling them to my family who already owned them. So, but you know, the idea was there. So that was the start, obviously, of the entrepreneurial journey. And I guess just a couple of other little things, like growing up, I've always been into making, like all the time. I remember when I was very young, like maybe about 10, creating these very, very elaborate, for no reason whatsoever, like not for school, just for fun, sort of like dioramas or cities out of milk cartons and cardboard. And there was like futuristic roads going everywhere, and it was this whole thing, and like little models of doll like houses, but down to the minutest detail, making the little things that go on the shelf in the bookshelf in the room and stuff like that. So that's one thing I remember. And then another thing I remember is just being so like painting my body. I remember going to soccer training when I, again, quite young, like maybe around 10, and just like my whole leg was painted as this like mechanical, like a little zipper that had unzipped, and I had this mechanical robot leg inside of my leg.
Have you turned this into a tattoo since then?
I'm like, oh, maybe I should. No, a bit too full on probably. But yeah, I think that just gives a little bit of insight into, you know, just always creating, and much like you, Jess, really into like the industrial design classes. So I did metalwork and woodwork, and pretty much the only girl all the time in any of those classes back then. Hopefully there's more girls now doing it. But I also did the sewing and all the home ec stuff as well. And so fast forward, it was just always a natural like progression to go from college into something creative. And so I went into graphic design because, like you guys, total internet nerd from way back, like as soon as you could dial up, that's what I was doing. Learning HTML. Making websites forever, been blogging for like since, you know, 2000 or something crazy. That's 18 years. insane. I feel old. But yeah, same, you know, similar strains the whole way. So went and did graphic design, 4-year degree at UC here in Canberra. Unfortunately, in my final year of study there, my sister actually passed away. That was pretty obviously massive for our family. But it didn't really stop me continuing on, because then I sort of figured, well, I have to like live for the both of us, so I have to make the most of what I've got. So then went on and did a Diploma of Education and went straight into teaching, which was actually my plan B, was to be a teacher. But, you know, the way things go, you do uni and then you have your interview at the end to be a teacher. And if you get a job, then you have a job. So I had a job. And that's the only interview I've ever really had, and the only real job I've ever had. So I did that for 6 years, teaching graphic design, architecture, all those kind of things at year 11 and 12 at a college here in ACT. And about halfway through that, like I was doing my own business stuff the whole time. So sort of halfway through uni, I was doing freelance graphic design for whoever would take me. So not niche down at all. I'm like, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll work whatever. I was also doing a lot of photography. So I was doing, it's like my feminist self now is like, oh my God, what was I thinking? But I was taking photos for like modeling competitions in nightclubs. Poor girls. I just want to go back and go, what are you doing? But that was really good again to learn about business, because myself included, you know, we covered business a little bit in the graphic design degree, but not really very much at all. So I was basically teaching myself as I went from, like, you know, a young age. I was only, what, 20 or something, probably even younger, and just learning all this stuff that you have to deal with, like customer service and keeping records and all that kind of thing. So yeah, that sort of naturally progressed, and I don't really do the photography anymore, but I have all those skills that I learnt from university and just running it as a business and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, almost up to the present day. So about halfway through my teaching, the 6 years, I went part-time because I was working on my own business. And that was actually at the time a jewelry business. So I was doing laser cut jewelry before it was super cool and trendy, and doing quite well, like selling at markets, selling online, doing like Facebook sales, selling at a few boutiques around Australia wholesale. And that was going really well. And then I had a baby and I'm like, this is hard. but also I was getting this other passion coming through of wanting to help people. So, and my story is kind of like, there's lots of kind of different layers going along the whole way, that I was wanting to do my own stuff, but then I was wanting to help people, but then I wasn't quite sure how I was helping people. And I got really involved in helping people just be creative. So not so much on the business side of things, but just making. I really wanted to help people make, because especially in Canberra, there's, you know, whatever percentage of our population isn't in the public service, they're in a job that they possibly is not like fulfilling them. A lot of people think that that is their career and that's what they have to stick with, and then they need some creative release and they don't know how to do it. They don't know what skills they have. They just think they're not creative, all those kinds of things. So after I had been part-time for a long time, it came to a stage where I wasn't really happy in my position at the school, and I had an opportunity, or I had an idea, to start a workshop space in Canberra. So I took my little plan off to my accountant and I said, is this a good idea? And she's like, sure, go for it. Why not? You've done your plan and thought everything out and whatever. So I spent a year doing that plan too. So I didn't just, you know, on a whim sort of quit. I took a year to sort everything out and make sure I was not going to fail immediately. So then I basically took leave without pay, which you can do in the Department of Education for a number of years, especially because having kids, I think I took parental leave or something, I can't remember now, to then start the business. So I leased a space and I opened up the Makers Hub in Canberra, and it was awesome. We ran workshops. I ran also, so the little like thread of the business stuff was still there. I was still teaching like social media and how to start your own business and stuff, but a little bit less than the making side of things. But then I have a whole my own video on this about the Makers Hub and my failures of focus in running that. But yeah, I was doing a lot at once. It was, you know, workshops, and then I had a craft subscription box, and then retail space, and it was just like so many things. But everyone seemed to really love it. It was fantastic. And then I had another baby. And you can't really like run a full-time business like that when you have a newborn that you would also like to pay attention to. So that got quite difficult. And this is a super long story, but long story short, I ended up closing the hub. It was the best decision I ever made, because then I could focus solely on my online services of helping people grow their businesses and sorting out their brand and all that kind of thing. And that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm about to start a PhD in looking at women and their entrepreneurial startup businesses and how education of branding affects that sort of stuff. So hopefully along the way of this podcast, you guys will hear me complaining about how much my PhD is burning me out. Hopefully along the way as well. So that's where I'm up to at the moment.
Awesome. There's so many common threads there. I was going to say excessive education. That's probably not the best way of putting it.
but I know what you mean. Like, you know, it's this idea of...
You've got three, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, we like learning. How about that?
Yeah.
We like learning.
We like learning, and we like teaching too.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you actually both were teachers, as in, you know, when you say air quote, because people can't see me, real teachers.
Yeah.
But
qualified
teachers.
Like,
I feel like I am a teacher. Like, that is all I do. Like, you know, before and after this podcast, I'm going to be working on a course, and I do workshops, and, you know, and eventually, and I love it. And people are like, why do you like that? And I just was that kid at school that loved school. I don't know if you were the same.
Too. I love school.
I was this annoying kid that loved like homework and stuff. And just like back to school, like, was the best time of the year, because I would go back and study more stuff. And so I love to learn constantly and teach and organize like ideas and thoughts and stuff. So it comes very naturally to me. And so when people like makers don't have time to do that stuff and all that learning, and that you actually like doing it, it just makes sense that, you know, it comes together. It's like, well, you do creating, I do businessing, and together we take on the world.
Absolutely. And I love, you know, some of the other things, you know, we all, I often say, I was talking to Chris Guillebeau. I interviewed him on my podcast a while ago, and he calls himself unemployable. And I totally get that. And I feel like that so stands for me, and I think it stands for you too as well, that you've just reached this point where the idea of actually having a job is just unfathomable.
It's hard. I mean, I do have a job, just to put that in there. I do work at the university, so I'm teaching and tutoring and lecturing and whatnot, but it's hard. Like, it's hard answering to people, and it's hard. I mean, the university is a fantastic environment. It's probably the most... like, I wouldn't say cruisy job, but, you know, you have autonomy in what you do.
In case your colleagues are listening right now, and I'm like,
really? No, I mean, it's a good place to work. But, yeah, it allows flexibility more so than, like, I don't think I could do it like an office 9 to 5, no chance.
Because that's not a full-time job, is it?
No, not at all. It's extremely flexible. I only work like 2.5 days. So, or not even, it's about 2 days altogether. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Unemployable would definitely be me. But then again, I said I've never worked for someone else. That's kind of, that's not true too. As in I've had one corporate-y kind of job and learned a lot, just wasn't for me. But then I had a bunch of small jobs, odd jobs in between visas, trying to just pay the bills while building my business. So I've done all sorts of like, bartending, waitress, baristas, making coffee, you know, like, I've done all of this stuff. So I know how to work for someone else. And I would say I'm a good worker. Like, I would never just rock up to work and not do proper work. But yeah, I did, like, there's nothing that excites me about it. Like, I wouldn't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'm so excited about, you know, making good coffee today. Like, I understand that some people it's what lights them up, and that's great. But to me, it's like this creativity that we get to have in business. That's really what gets me in the morning, just out of bed and ready to work. So yeah, I'm definitely unemployable. I hope I'm never going to lose my business and that no one's going to listen to this podcast and not give me a job.
No, never happened. But I think we're self-directed. We like to be, we're independent, self-directed people. And I think that amongst all of the other things we've talked about, it's why we've come together, because we have so much. It's hilarious because technically we're competitors, really.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You know, so we all do similar stuff. We have membership sites and I have a podcast. You guys have YouTube channels and videos and stuff. And we're all kind of serving a very similar market. Mm-hmm. But I think we're also all about collaboration over competition. And we know that, you know, coming together and creating something new to serve that market is not going to necessarily take away from what else we do.
It wouldn't. Yeah. Like, this is the thing that I hope that people can take away from this, is that your competition is not, it doesn't have to be that way. Your competition doesn't have to be a competition. They can be collaborators and it could work really well. And yeah, it'd be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, you don't really have competition if you're doing your own thing. Like, I mean, we teach the same thing. We agree on most of it because, you know, if not, it would be really hard to have a podcast together. I'm sure there'll be some, you know, no, I'm sure there'll be some times where we disagree, but it'll never be drastic because we have the same sort of vision of how the handmade business need to sort of start and grow. But in the end, we're all very different in the way we teach and approach things as well. So, you know, yes, we teach the same concepts, but we do it differently. So I don't, you know, if you find that Michaela has a better workshop because you like a teaching style, then fine. You know, like, that's, that can't be competition because she does her and I do me, and that's it.
And I think that's really telling of that we're all in it for you that are listening, because, you know, if we were in it for ourselves, then we would be that, like, oh, I hope this person takes my course over Deb's course. But I want you guys to take the course that's going to work for you, that's going to keep you in business, that's going to push you forward. And if that's Jess's course over mine, that's totally cool. Like, that's great. Yeah. Whatever's going to push you forward is what you should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we all have different strengths and different backgrounds, and we come from different perspectives. But I think the things that really bring us together is that idea of collaboration. And also just, you know, we're all about being realistic and down to earth and giving you some real talk about what it's actually like and what it is actually going to take to have a successful making a business. Like, we really want to be, you know, obviously there's people listening, you know, you're going to be at all different stages of your business. You might be just starting out, you might have been in business a while, or even a long time. And, you know, we really want to help everyone, but we specifically want to help the people who want to make this a full-time thing. They actually want to turn their creative hobby, whatever it might be, or creative endeavor into a successful, profitable business, because it can be, you know, it's not a pie in the sky idea. Yeah, it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of work, takes a lot of learning, but it is possible. I mean, I've done it and I know so many other people who've done it.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. I mean, just getting the idea across that this is a legitimate career choice for you if you want it to be, if you put in the hard yards, then it's completely possible and achievable. You just have to work out how to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I like about chatting with you is that, well, first, it's fun. And then it's also, I think we have the same approach to, you know, there isn't a one size fit all formula, magic trick, super crazy
secret
that we're going to hacks. Reveal. You know, there's not going to be an episode title like the secret.
The one thing.
Yeah. Because that's not true. Like, every single one of you listening is going to build a very different business to, you know, like, even from what you think you're going to build to what it's going to turn out to be. So it's just, it's going to have to evolve. You're going to have to experiment and try different things. And we're just here to give you the tools and the strategies to do that properly so that you, you know, you can do it as quickly and yeah, as best as possible. But I think this is because we, you know, there's a lot of other people in, I guess, on the internet, just generally, if you start Googling like how to do business and whatever, there's all this guru that are going to tell you, oh, you can do this and, you know, make money overnight and you'd be rich and then you can quit your business. Like, and that's not what it's about. Like, it's, that's not real. And that's not what most people have to do. And so we're here to give you the real thing.
Especially with a take on the handmade and making, because
absolutely.
A lot of those people online too are, you know, content marketers who are selling how to content market a content marketing business, you know. So it doesn't always apply to made goods, made products. So
yeah, it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different way of working and business strategy and even timeline and money. You know, I like to say, you know, if you want to be rich, don't start a handmade business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're Jonathan Adler or someone who manages to scale, and hey, why not? It could be you. If you're serious about it, be the next Dinosaur Designs, be the next Jonathan Adler, whatever you want to do is possible. But if you want to do it because you want to work for yourself and, you know, work at home and have the flexibility of being self-employed, you're probably not going to make yourself millions of dollars because you just have a natural limit of how much you can produce.
Yeah.
And we all have to realize we have that natural upper limit of how much we can produce and make sure that we're, you know, making the right things and selling them for the right price so that we can make a comfortable living.
Exactly. Mm. And then, you know, if you get that working really successfully and you feel like you do want to scale larger, know that you can't do it alone. You know, there's systems and processes you need to put in place with outsourcing. Yeah. You can't make $1 million with one person. Like if I can find someone who makes $1 million with just them doing all the work, let me down.
Maybe if you're like an Instagram influencer, that seems to be a thing at the moment. Like maybe that's the way, but I'm sure that even at another team, yeah, it's not possible. Like let's just be honest.
Making and selling products.
No way.
Not a chance.
No. Yeah.
No. But I think, you know, I think it's everybody who's listening and people who are getting into this aren't doing it to make $1 million. I would think that you guys are here because you love something and you want to create it and you want to get it out into the world. And if you can turn that into a business that makes a living, then that's pretty awesome.
Mm. Yeah. And work for yourself, work from home. If you have a family, that's also usually there's that element that comes into it. Well, Michaela, you would say probably that actually complicate things a lot, but you know, it's more time at home with the kids. And so it's different. Yeah. It's more of a lifestyle business, really, as in not lifestyle business as in you're going to work 2 hours a day, but as in, you know, it's going to allow you to have the lifestyle you want to have.
Right. Yeah, and well, exactly.
I mean, like doing, you know, I think that's important as well. Just enjoying the actual work that you're putting into your business rather than, yeah, working for a client or a project or a boss that you really don't like.
Yeah. And also just making it sustainable. Like that's our goal here, is that you can, if that is what you want to do, you want to have this as your income earner, making it sustainable so you don't burn out. And so you can continue doing this for 10 or 15 or however many years you want to do it for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was saying I have a full-time jewelry business, but I don't do it alone. My husband works with me, for me, full-time. Like he doesn't have another job. So it's a family business,
yeah,
really.
Amazing.
Two of us, you know, running these two businesses together. And it's brilliant. It really, really, like I'm so incredibly grateful every day that I can do this because, you know, we can live the lifestyle we want. We can go traveling when we want to. We can, you know, get up when we want to. We don't have to use alarms, like yes. The little things, but they make a big difference in your happiness, I think. So, you know, if that sort of lifestyle sounds good to you, then yeah, that's definitely something you can have with a handmade business.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. That was really fun. Obviously, we have many, 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 many more episodes to come and many things to talk about. So stay tuned. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, rate and review our show. It helps other people to find it. So thank you again for listening and we'll be back again next week with another episode.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.